Welcome back to the Blindsiders. I am Ben and I'm here with Brian to talk about episode number 12 of Survivor 45. And we are 1 week away from the finale of Survivor 45 here. By the end of this episode, we'll be down to the final five. And we have our, finally, we've been waiting the entire merge for the Rima 4 to break up. It almost happened last week with Julie, but she saved herself with her idol. And this is this week we finally see one of the four original Rima members who made the merge. Or I guess technically, if you include the Murgatory, but yeah. With Sifu is there.
Six of them made the merge.
Sifu made the merge, and then Jemaya technically made the Murgatory. We've been waiting for this core four to break apart, and Drew ends up getting blindsided here. Before we get there, we have the ex-girlfriend at the party the apt name of the title. We have Julie coming through and doing her rounds with people. This feels like it's always awkward, right? When somebody saves themselves with an idol and they just get back to camp and you're like, ooh, everyone here wants me to not be here.
Yeah.
I just have to kind of work around that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought it was very funny that she just immediately went up to them. It was like, oh, it's kind of fun and funny because obviously they weren't really feeling that in the moment. I don't know if Jake and Katara had any real negative feelings toward her, but certainly the two, Drew and Austin, were not happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's actually funny because they showed in the preview last week Drew throwing the pot lid or whatever, and I feel like they were trying to make that into Drew is really pissed off and threw the pot lid in frustration, but we end up seeing that down the line in the episode, and it's basically B-roll scene. he was definitely upset for sure, and somehow somehow Dee and Julie are able to convince Drew and Austin that Dee didn't tell Julie about the plan when she very obviously did.
Yeah, it's funny. They're just so quick to be like, I guess we just suck at, having poker faces and we must have tipped her off, not even giving a thought to Dee betraying them, which was very interesting.
Yeah. I'm curious what your thoughts are. For me, I think across the season, it felt like the show was trying to sell Drew and Austin as the power duo. But I think it's become pretty evident as this merge has gone on and as the Rima 4 has jockeyed for position that Dee and Julia are actually the power duo.
Yeah, well, definitely Drew and Austin had the game kind of in their hands with bringing Emily in.
Yeah.
And Emily being a third that they could have, made more moves with earlier, and then they were just not able to, I guess, and they lost Emily because of the idol. But it's just been almost they had these two competing interests of we have a three with Emily, but the four with the Rima 4. And then we'll kind of use Emily when we get down to it. But I don't know if maybe that was the right move because obviously it didn't work out. But it with so few numbers left, it didn't take much for Dee and Julie to form this coalition to get rid of Drew in this episode. The benefit of having Emily as a third is when there are more numbers, you don't have as many people to bring in to potentially flip something. And you just never really took advantage of that in any way.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that something we talk about with Emily in particular is her kind of undermining Drew and Austin a bit in terms of the other, the Bellows, for instance, people Jake and Katara who end up here in this final five. And I think that while it definitely increased Emily's short-term position, it definitely mortgaged the ability for Drew and Austin to like leverage these Bello votes down the line. And it like, you know, obviously like, you know, Jake and Couture are going to be down for any name that isn't them. But when they're in a spot where they can basically choose which of the duos from Reba they want to swing with, like I think that something like the Drew and Jake relationship really crumbling is going to make it a lot more difficult for Drew to like make that kind of a sales pitch. But like they did make the sales pitch last episode with everyone piling on Julie. So I think like it is interesting that that I kind of was able to swing back here. I'd probably just give most of that credit to D. Probably.
Yeah, I think having Emily there too, like, in order for it to knock on Julie last episode, like, every other person left, D, Jake, Couture, and Julie would have had to be on the same page to not do it. And they just didn't really seem, like, super aligned in that way, you know?
Yeah, so, I agree. I think it's a combination of Drew having immunity at Final Seven and also Jake and Couture each individually having a good social relationship with Emily, who is Julie's like secondary target. So
right,
yeah,
no, and it was of course very interesting to kind of watch Jake and Couture navigate this round. I still don't think they have any like winner equity, and especially it was bad with Jake and like. The edit is even undermining it, where it's like, I don't know if you felt the same way, but in this episode, 100%. I felt like they were like, this is Jake's big plan, that it's like, which doesn't matter because no one cares what Jake's doing, you know?
Yes. Yeah, so I described it over text to somebody else that, like, in an episode where, like, Jake found an idol and is giving all of these, like, strategic confessionals, the show still takes like three separate detours to undermine and clown on him for like no reason.
Yeah, they're like just to be clear, Jake is not the reason what is happening is happening.
Yeah, maybe they learned from Xander, right?
Where like, good, yeah,
where they're like, let's make sure that we give Jake spots, but then show you like step by step how he's completely wrong about everything.
Yeah. And it sucks too, because he is it, in another world where Jake was calling the shots. He is like a good confessionalist, where you would be like, wow, this guy's really smart. He's really got it going on, you know?
No, he has a lot of good ideas. I think his like strategic thought processes are really good, but he just doesn't have the social capital to actually accomplish anything. And he really has never had it. Like even on Bello, it felt like he was always kind of like a second fiddle.
Really in love with this idea of the forced rock draw flip that he came up with that is never going to happen.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I mean, I agree with it on paper, right? That
sure, yeah.
Like that's how you like put a stamp on that as your move. If you're the one who like I've seen it kind of like play out this way, you know, and you know, in live games and stuff, like if you force a rock draw and you like are the one at tribal council that is like the voice that makes the vote flip in the way that you want, like that's how you make it your own move, especially in a situation where you have nothing at this point.
Right.
Which I mean, Jake has an idol, so like he doesn't have nothing, but he has like close to nothing.
Right. Yeah. 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 I mean, it was just funny because like he's like, okay, we need to do this. And Katara's like, I'm pretty sure D will just vote for Drew. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, it's not possible. So like, all right. Well, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, like, it doesn't matter if she is willing to vote for Drew. Like, Jake's plan is to make it so D can't claim this move as her own.
Yeah.
Which, right. Because Julie and, like, it was going to happen regardless of whether Couture ran the information immediately back to D.
Right.
But it definitely didn't help that Couture immediately ran the information back to D. which has been kind of Couture's MO for most of the merch.
Yep.
Which, yeah, kudos to D again. Like, it feels like I don't know what like social, like she's obviously like very charismatic and very like good at kind of manipulating people. Because like the ability for somebody to just get information and immediately just like, okay, I gotta go tell D this information, even when it's been explicitly told for me not to tell D. But yeah, obviously the idea was for D not to be able to take ownership of the Drew blind side. And so that Jake would be able to take ownership for it. Because yeah, like now it is D's move. And I think at this point it's D's game to lose.
Yeah, I mean, even the jury is like excited to see her with immunity. That's usually a pretty good sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess what else can we talk about? You want to talk about the reward?
Yeah, an actual reward.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I usually zone out when Jeff is like explaining it because I just expect him to be like, yeah, you guys are going to be going to the sanctuary again for this like mediocre meal of like half a chicken and a soft drink.
Yeah,
no
fixes. If they're lucky, if they get a soft drink these days,
you have to eat a rotisserie chicken with your bare hands. Yeah. This is a reward.
Yeah, no, this is sweet. Picnic on the beach, helicopter ride, very fun. Katara getting to be third wheel, also very fun. What was it, like charcuterie, right? That was the reward.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, great. I love a good charcuterie board personally, so I was into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about this with the auction. It's one of the better food rewards I think you can get.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they must have had some left over that Emily didn't finish.
Right.
But yeah, no, I what are your thoughts, I guess, on this Austin D thing? Because like it feels like one, it kind of came out of nowhere in the last few episodes, and two, it feels like they're just for some reason not admitting to the fact that they're like a showmance. They're like both dancing around it so hard, even in confessionals, for like no reason. I don't know.
Yeah, I think what it mostly ended up being useful for is like showing the difference between Austin and Dia's players, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, they were in the same spot. Austin was in the same spot last week as D was this week, and D played it correctly in both weeks.
Yeah. So you know, I wish him a lot of luck. Modern day Robin Amber, I guess.
Yeah, except D is both Rob and Amber in this scenario.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe D will propose at the not live reunion, but the, you know, immediately after the game reunion. We'll see. Can't be worse than was that David guy?
David Murphy, yeah, and Carolina Eastwood, yeah.
Yeah, that was a mess. Why did you do that? In front of Amber, too.
Yeah.
Who made a face at the whole situation.
Yeah, it's when you're on Boston Rob season that he won and you're like pulling the move that he's famous for at the reunion.
Yeah.
Pretty disrespectful, honestly.
Yeah, I think honestly, like, he was the only Zapatera who had like any chance of ever being invited back and just completely torpedoed that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Mike too.
Yeah.
Jeff, that seems like someone Jeff would be into. But very impressive how unlikable the Zapatera tribe was given the setup of the season.
Yeah. No, you're not a Steve Wright fan?
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot about Steve Wright.
Yeah.
Great. The literally like the great value Gary Ogaboom. Gary
Ogaboom, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at least Gary Ogaboom had, I think, more win equity if if he came in with numbers.
No, I think Gary was great. And worked really well and, you know, found the idol and played that. That was very fun. And then they put Steve and, like, will this be as good? Mm-hmm. Random backup quarterback for the NFL? No? Okay. Sorry. Nope. We won't do that again.
Yeah. They needed a sportscaster on that season to recognize him for him to be like, nope, that's not me.
Yeah,
I'm Steve White.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
I like how they also had Grant, who was also an ex-NFL player, and I don't think that even came up on the show.
No. I mean, I feel like Survivor's done that a lot, where they have, like, former professional athletes that are kind of, like D-list in terms of, like, even within their sport.
Yeah. Well, I always so, like, whenever someone brings up, like, oh, Tyler from Runs Apart was a former professional football player, I was like, oh yeah, he was a kicker. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know why, for some reason, I just can't picture him as a football player, even though he is jacked. I don't know.
Yeah, he's jacked, but he's also very, like, nerd-coded, so it kind of bounces out.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. It's like, I don't expect someone who, you know, looks like he studies CTE to play the sport that causes it.
Yeah, it's I'm surprised. I guess, you know, kickers don't usually get roughed up.
That's true. That's very true.
Probably why. Yeah.
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 So, yeah. When will we bring up back another former pro athlete? When was the last one? Danny, right?
Yeah, Danny McCray.
Last player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the last one.
He was great. Yeah. He was fun.
Yeah, he could have won the season for sure.
Yeah. And then he did win the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, no, God, why did we start talking about Gary White? Gary White?
Gary Hawkins didn't work, so now he's Gary White.
Yeah. When he comes back for Survivor 50.
Yep.
Oh, he's probably so old now. He's probably like in his 70s now.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Joe Del Campo, he was super old too, right? I mean,
nothing went wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything was perfect. Yeah. The two times they put super old people on this season, Rudy got hurt and Joe Del Campo got medevaced. Can't believe they don't do that anymore.
Yeah. To be fair, 45 is like the youngest cast in the history of the show, or one of, I think it's the second youngest after Ghost Island, I think we said.
Yeah.
Regardless, anyways. the tangent started because we were talking about whether Austin and Dee were going to get engaged at the reunion that doesn't exist.
Right. Yes. I wish them the best. I'm glad Dee isn't letting, you know, her love for Austin get in the way of $1 million. That makes me quite happy to see.
Yeah, well, I've seen people referring to Dee as a new era Parvati. I don't know what your thoughts on that are.
I don't see Parvati in her, other than they're both women and they're both attractive. Which, I mean, sure, I guess. Both
likely going to win.
Mm-hmm, both likely going to win. But, yeah. Like, you know, I don't like... Listen, Ben, if I ever went to play Big Brother and I came with my curly hair, I don't want people to be like, this is Cam again. I think quite different person than him. And I think Dee's playing a pretty different game, certainly from Parvati 1.0, let alone Parvati 2, 3, 4.0.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Parvati 2.0 is probably the like most relevant comparison point in terms of like Parvati 2.0 like played James, and you know James technically didn't get voted out that season, he got medevaced, but you know they were planning on voting him out and Parvati certainly would have been fine with voting him out, and he had like the Black Widow Brigade all kind of bamboozling the men, and you had like these two couples that were each like relatively willing to cut each other. That's the closest comparison, even though I don't think that Dee needs to or cares to cut Austin. I think she'll handily beat him
at the end.
Yeah, she'll pretty handily beat him in a jury vote, I think, at this point.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You had to bite the apple.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, not to do a tangent again, but I think about this a lot, probably more than I should. The two-season story arc of James being obsessed with temptation and the apple in the Garden of Eden in his first season, and then it not being mentioned one time in Micronesia until Parv votes Ozzy out, and then the first thing he says in the next episode is, "You had to bite the apple." Amazing. Mm. Such good, multiple season storytelling.
Yeah. Austin really hyper-focused on the wrong male hero from Heroes vs. Villains. He was too focused on being the new JT. He forgot to take in the wise words of James Clement.
Yep. Yeah, and unfortunately, it's like you'll never be them. And just like even JT or Drew and Austin. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, I mean, for some reason, I wouldn't have even came to the conclusion. Drew in this episode references, he says Tyson and Gervais,
Yeah, no, that also, I literally said, what the fuck? Gervais?
Yeah, first of all, pronouncing Gervais' name wrong. Second, that's a really weird, I don't even think Tyson and Gervais consider themselves a power duo. They're not even in the conversation for power duos that I think of. Gervais, really fun character. I'm very glad that they tapped the well and brought him back. Blood versus Water after so long, but not good at Survivor, and not even it was basically Tyson, and then Gervais was along for the ride. Monica was a way more strategic, had way more strategic input in that alliance than Gervais, in my opinion.
Yeah, plus she was just a neat lady. So
yeah,
no, that was a wild pull. I didn't really think about them as a duo either. Who would be another dynamic? Oh, Dom and Wendell, obviously. Yeah. That's the if you're gonna say JT and Steven or Dom and Wendell, right? That's the other one.
Yeah, that's what I expected him to say, but then he said Tyson and Gervais. I was like, okay, that's interesting.
Hey, good for Gervais getting a shout out here.
Maybe Drew had just binged Blood versus Water before the season, but muted the show every time they said Gervais' name.
Somehow, yeah. So weird. That would be such a weird season to watch before going on a modern season. I know it was only it was 18 seasons ago now. Completely different era of Survivor. Very, very different from anything that's happening now.
Yeah, a literal decade ago.
Yeah. And I remember when Blood versus Water was coming out, I was very nervous about how it was going to be a complete and utter disaster. But it was really good. So, different Survivor.
Yeah. Because we were, that was the first season where Survivor was just throwing a bunch of ludicrous twists at the wall. But it worked.
Yeah. It somehow was so good. But, I couldn't even imagine going back and watching Blood versus Water and being this will prepare me for it. It's almost the same. I talk about watching old seasons. I think at the beginning of this season, I was rewatching All Stars. It'd be watching All Stars and being this will prepare me for a current season of Survivor. It's not even the same show.
I don't think you can really watch anything before, even before, Heroes Hustlers, because I think the fire-making challenge, changes a lot of the dynamic of the end game. That's something I also want to talk about, too, because I think that D, after this episode, is, so well set up because of the fire-making challenge.
Yeah.
Because I don't even think it's correct for Julie to cut D at Final Five, even though she'll lose to D in the Final Three, because of the way the fire making challenge is set up. Because it would basically, if D gets cut at five, right? And you're Julie. Then if Jake or Keturah win final immunity, they take each other, presumably, if they're not like completely brain dead. Like, you know, it's like, I'm assuming they have like a basic capacity for strategy, which they've demonstrated a little bit. And then Julie is just going to get destroyed in fire making by Austin.
Right.
Yeah. So you need D there to lose in fire making for you. Right. But then if D is there, she has two shots to win and then win the game. So like, I just don't really like the only way in my opinion that D loses the game is if she tries to target Jake at five and Jake idles her out.
Right. Yeah. Which I don't see either. Well, I mean, it's possible. I just like, it's hard to, you know, what is D going to do? I can imagine she wants to go to the end with the three remaining Rebas left, which does mean taking out the two Bellows. But like, at least for me, I've so long written both of them off as potential winners. That's like, why wouldn't she just want to bring them to the end? At least one of them, you know?
Well, yeah, but it's funny because I said earlier, like, you know, D can feel comfortable pretty much just going to the end with Austin and beating him. But I think from like a safety perspective, she's better off to cut Austin at five.
Right.
Just because like all that matters is her winning either the final four immunity or final four fire making. And Austin is like the only one that really is like holding a candle to her at this point, in my opinion.
No, same. I liked this immunity challenge. Thought it was fun. Good one. Good take on the, I don't remember which season other than Blood versus Water. Speaking of, you know, balancing a vase challenge, but this time it was a ball to make it I guess, a little more difficult. But yeah, I thought this was pretty good. What do you think?
Yeah, it's like, I know we get a lot of kind of endurance style individual immunities in Modern Survivor, but this one is at least like kind of exercises a different part of your body. And I think they also really enjoy the fact that it's a short endurance challenge.
They're
like, it's literally 20 minutes.
Yep.
Jeff's like bragging about how it's only a 20 minute challenge, basically. It's like in and out.
Oh man, yeah. Jeff's like, I don't really want to be here all day. Let's just speed this up. But yeah, good for D winning another immunity. Very fun for her. Good smack talk during it. She's like goading him, you know, the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, D's like very good in these challenges. Like, she didn't move for 21 minutes.
No,
like, she was literally a statue.
Yeah.
As opposed to like Drew, who, you know, I have been in that position that Drew's in, where you're like in an endurance challenge and you're like, you know, you're going to lose, but you flail around for an extra like 2 to 3 minutes to like try to hold on as long as possible.
Right.
But yeah,
like, bad challenge for someone that tall, I feel like.
True as well. Yeah. You just like higher fulcrum, which means you have less control.
Yeah.
So. No, yeah, 100%. But like it always looks really impressive when you start to like flail around like that and then somehow like save it. But it's always like very, you're just clawing the inevitable.
The momentum's contained, but it will break out again.
Exactly.
It's not gone.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was good. What else? Like we said, Jake found an idol. That was fun. Decided to get almost naked for it, which was interesting. Jake's just out here doing his own thing, which I love. Mm-hmm. Very fun. You know?
I mean, look, I don't know. This is obviously not going to be, like, unless people are watching the Wicked Good Sports, this is not going to be super useful to anyone watching, but Jake just reminds me so much of Jack. like, they just, like, I don't know, he's got the bro-y vibes, but also he's, like, a theater nerd, and, like, on top of that, he's, like, kind of, like, you know, goofy, and, like, I don't know, there's just a lot of kind of unique qualities there.
Yeah. No, he's awesome. Very fun character. Very interesting guy to have on. this season. You know, this was a cool way to hide the idol, I felt like. You know, we used to see scavenger hunts all the time. Now we very rarely see idol scavenger hunts, but they're back in the new era, I guess.
Yeah, or at least, like, you know, you had, like, the X marks the spot puzzle that Austin had to do, right? Like, at least make them put in some work other than, hey, here's, like, a knot in a tree that's very obvious. Oh, look, there's an idol in here.
Yep. No. Trying to think what else for this episode. I mean, the biggest thing for me personally was now I've won our draft, or our winner picks. So, you know, very, very flawed system we have because Jake has zero winner equity, but I technically won.
Yeah, no. Is it flawed, though? I mean, like, we know the rules up front, right? It's just you're we know that we're essentially picking who we think is going to go the furthest. And,
yeah. You know. Well, it's funny because I, like, you know, I almost picked Caleb. And I would have, like, picked Caleb, and I still, like, feel like he had a better chance of winning the season than Jake does.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the other person.
In ninth place or 10th place.
I mean, the other person that I was, like, you know, considering before I was like, hey, I got to, like, you know, I got to back Brandon was Austin. So, like, you know, if I just, I should have just done that, I would have been a lot better.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I'll have the first pick next Survivor 46, which just got leaked to the cast. No one we know, or at least no one I knew, which was surprising.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. From New England, so that's always good.
Yeah, somebody from Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah, man. Weird to say that, but yeah, Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah.
He's from the Casey Affleck movie. Yeah. Oh, man. But yeah, no, trying to think. I think that's about it, Drew. Tough way to go out. I saw a headline to one of his exit interviews. He said he felt humiliated, which, you know, hopefully he's gotten over that. It's nothing to be humiliated about. It's just Survivor.
Yeah. I mean, it probably does feel bad. Like, I don't think that Drew made a ton of, like, mistakes. I think Austin kind of played him out of the game, if anything. Between him giving Julie the idol, not asking for it back, leaking the plan to D last week, and then this week basically, like, allowing himself to get bamboozled by his girlfriend into, like, having her blindside Drew, and then wasting his idol on himself instead of playing it for Drew, and he could have saved Drew. Like, there's, like, at least 17 different mistakes that Austin made that caused Drew to get blindsided here.
Yeah, you know, now that you're running through it, Austin is like JT, but only in the sense that he makes inexplicable moves that backfire horribly. So JT, after his winning season, is how Austin plays. Yeah, he's playing like he's already won $1 million.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's playing like he already has $1 million in the bank. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Now he's just in there for the experience and for the
girl. I'll never forget on Game Changers when JT got voted off with an idol. You texted me immediately, like, did JT get kicked in the head by a horse? Like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Which... maybe, honestly. that is not the man who, like, ran over the entire cast of Token Cheens.
Played the anymore. First perfect game in Survivor history.
It's so insane. I love it. They should have brought him back for Winners of War. I don't understand. We could have seen him make even more inexplicable moves.
Yeah, they really wasted JT. I mean, obviously, like, JT's Game Changers game was, like, really fun, and his blindside was really fun, but I feel like they still wasted him when they could have just saved him.
I agree. Well, he was definitely one of the, like, when the Game Changers cast came out, you're like, why is JT here? Like, this cast has no succinct theme. It's just people who have played Survivor before and nothing else.
It's the people who said yes when we asked.
Yeah, it's so weird. It'll forever go down as the weirdest cast ever assembled.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, yeah, just no coherent theme whatsoever, and paste the Game Changers thing over it, and it makes less sense, you know? Yeah.
No, they could have just called it, like, actually, I don't even know. I remember at the time trying to think of a better name for Game Changers. It feels like there should be, like, you probably just pull it out of your ass and it would be better. But, like you said, there's no coherent theme to the cast, so there isn't really, like, an easy way to name the cast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember.
Other than, like Survivor, these people have played before. All-Star, yeah. All-Stars 4.
Yeah, All-Stars 4 would have made more sense. Because, especially when you name it, like, All-Stars 4, it's like, okay, this will just be whoever, like, is on it. Like, it's not that important, you know. Mm-hmm. One thing I was thinking about, I saw someone, I think it was Reddit, called the modern era of Survivor 2.0, which I can't really disagree with. Mm-hmm. Like, it does feel like its own show. Almost like it got rebooted on a new network or something. Mm-hmm. But it's still on the same network. Will they just call season 48 presumably just Survivor All-Stars again? like they did Big Brother with Big Brother 22 and Big Brother All-Stars, even though they had an All-Star season. Or do you think they'll call it All-Stars 2?
I hope they call it All-Stars 2. I think, like,
yeah.
That was one of my gripes with, like, on a season that I had many gripes with BB22.
Yeah.
Amongst those hundreds of gripes were that they just called it BB All-Stars instead of BB All-Stars 2 because it's just confusing.
Very, very confusing.
But Tar did this too. Tar had Miseries did, like, All-Stars, and then they did Unfinished Business, which was basically their version of Second Chance.
Yeah.
And then they did a third All-Star season, which they also just called All-Stars. But then people in the fan base called it All-Stars 2, which was confusing because it was the third All-Star season.
Jesus. So, yeah, I look forward to All-Stars 2 when it's really, what, the sixth, seventh All-Star season? Yeah.
Sixth. When was our war was five?
Six. Right, okay. So, yeah, All-Star Survivor All-Stars 2 season 45 / All-Stars 6.
Yeah. It's they need to hopefully when they ultimately, honestly, the best thing they could do is just do Second Chances 2 and just call it Second Chances 2.
Yeah.
Because, like, it would be cool to get winners back on an All-Star season, but I think from the perspective of, you know, making a solid theme, I think that's probably the best way they could do it.
Yeah, I would. So I would like, how to put this? I would like them to do an All-Stars at 48 to get some of the, like, tertiary All-Stars back, and, like, the Kelly Wentworths of the world, you know, where it's like, is she an All-Star? So then you can bring them back if they do well on a Survivor 50, which will almost certainly be, like, a big celebration season, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's my question. Next returning player season, do they tap players from pre-Winners at War?
I think they should at least tap from, I want to say, Heroes, Healers, Hustlers on. Just because any of those players had a chance to return? Yeah.
Just the three winners.
Yeah, just the three winners, which is like, there's so many good characters that they could bring back. I mean, Jeff Probst loves Rick Devins. You think he shouldn't come back? I'm not the biggest Rick Devins fan as a player. He seems like a really awesome dude. But, like, as a player, I'm like, whatever on him, but, like, I wouldn't complain seeing Rick Devins again, you know?
Yeah, and we're like, you know, Christian and Angelina, I think, are, like, really easy pull. Like, even, like, Davey from 37, from David vs. Goliath, I think all three of those are, like, really solid pulls. You even look back at, like, there's like a handful of people from Ghost Island that kind of got overshadowed by the Dom and Wendell show. Even some, like, of the pre-merge people who, you know, I was gonna say,
we gotta make it happen, we gotta make the the video, the pro James propaganda video. The casting remembers.
I know Devin Freitas has said that he would only come back to do Blood versus Water with his mom, but I feel like you gotta, like, at least try to get him back. I don't know, agreed.
And, like, these are people who, like, in almost any other era of Survivor would have had an opportunity to come back, and just because Winners of War and then the COVID forcing basically a soft reboot of the series, they just haven't.
Yeah, not 100%. Even, like, Lauren Beck, like, there's a lot of really good people who, like, even just if they were to do second chances too, like, just a lot of people who, you know, were really good players who didn't win, they could bring back.
Yeah, and I mean, there's plenty of players where it's like, I don't want them back anymore. Like, we don't need to. There's a ton of players. I mean, one that comes to mind, even though I like her very much as a player, Aubrey. We don't need Aubrey back. We've gotten the, you know, full package. No, her tribe mate Joe England back. You know, ignoring all the stuff in real life about Joe. But as a player, we're good. We got it, you know.
Yeah, we got it before he even came back a third time.
Yeah, before they constructed a season for him to win that he still lost. We understood.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think the next All-Star season should just be that's why I said I think they should make it a second chances too, because I don't think there is a ton of, like, I think like Jam Jam, maybe like Marianne, like, you would maybe be able to hype up if D wins the season. I think D might be, like, a good person to bring back. But like they already tapped three winners from that, you know, 40 from that 35 on you know, era. So, like, I think it makes a lot of sense to just do second chances too, because most of the players you'd want to tap anyways would fit that mold.
No, I agree. And, like, I'd love Marianne back, but we don't need winners right now. And one thing I wanted to ask was, if there's a second chance and there's a ballot, with Corey Wartenberger being on BB 25, back Wartenberger on the ballot, Ben?
I doubt it. I don't think so. I love Zach. He's been fun.
Yeah,
he was fun on the, you know, Reindeer Games episode 2 RHAP episode. Yeah. I just watched the and, like, look, I'm a big AmeriCorey stan, so sue me, but yeah, no, Zach Wartenberger is not getting called back.
Disappointing. I just think if he had another chance, Ben, he could have you know, redeemed himself and redeemed me.
Look, I would be down if they did it. I would be down 100%, but I just don't think they're going to do it.
No, I don't either.
Yeah,
which is lame.
Yeah,
you got to hold out for Amazing Race for the Wartenberger brothers to play there.
I think that unless AmeriCorey break up, I don't see that happening. I think AmeriCorey.
Definitely
sucks for Zach.
Yep. I did see that Corey went on to Julie's God 101 podcast. Amazing as a Jewish dude to go on a, like, reborn again Christian podcast. Just, I don't know. Corey's so great.
They're both a lot of fun. I appreciate that America is like still has the, like, internet BB fan energy.
Yeah.
She's, like, was a player on the show.
Yeah. Big BB Twitter energy coming out from America at all times.
She just has no filter, and she just says, like, the most out of pocket shit constantly. Yeah, but it's great.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, we could promote this time next week, or, well, probably not this time next week, but sometime next week, we'll be doing a Big Brother Reindeer Games recap. through two episodes. The third one's on right now, or I'm pretty sure on right now. Good, really good, actually.
100%. I agree. In this episode three has been hyped up a lot by the players and by like the show and in promos and stuff. So I'm excited after we finish recording here.
Yeah.
To go watch it. Yeah, I agree. I came in with zero expectations. I was kind of like, we were clowning it basically on Half Not Rum. But yeah, it's for sure delivered. Call it better challenges, call it, good boot order. Call it just like the cast is really strong on the whole. I don't know. It works. It really does work. I didn't expect there to be a social strategy component to it, but there is. It's obviously like a more watered down version of like a Big Brother style social strategy. But I think that's also sort of like counterintuitively helped because people are like, because there's way less limited ways for you to directly impact the game when like the players are being handed that power, they're like using it more aggressively to like benefit themselves as opposed to just like being like, I could just use this as an easy HOH.
It's been a lot of fun, and hopefully it stays fun, and I wouldn't hate it as a recurring thing if they want to do it again next year. Like, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, you'll see how it plays out. I don't know how the end game works. It sounds like it's just like a final four, and I don't know, maybe some kind of like point system or elimination system in competitions, something like that. But so far it's exceeded my low expectations.
Yeah, considering how jaded I think us and just like the BB fan community was at large after 100 days of BB25. The fact that it's been pretty like universally like well received, it says a lot about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now they have to take this energy and bring it to BB26.
Yes. Take this challenge energy specifically.
Yeah. All the challenges have been like they've been simple. Like some of them have been pretty simple, but they've been really good. Like you don't need like the strength of Big Brother wasn't like the challenges being flashy. It's like, it's a lot of the early seasons had the most like janky fucking competitions ever, and a lot of them were better. Like the final, like one of the parts of the final HOH for BB2 was who could put the awnings up and down in the backyard faster. Like it was like the stupidest challenges ever, but they're more equitable. I would rather have like worse challenges that anybody could win than like really high production challenges that, the same person is winning over and over again.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Never mind. I was going to make a joke. It just felt mean. So we're just going to go past this off the air, I'll tell you. So please check that out when it drops. Subscribe to the main channel. We could get everything. I got a new video. In my editing program, I just need to actually finish editing it. And then a sports channel, we get sports. And then, other than that, Ben, anything you want to plug?
You can, I guess, follow me on Twitter at Ben Sharon. I said pretty much every podcast, I barely use Twitter. You can follow me there and see like my, once every week or two, I'll be active.
You can follow me there also, Fake Bmarr, BMARR. Similar to Ben, I'll like not tweet for weeks and then have one tweet and be like, oh, no one really liked this. I guess I'll go back to not tweeting again for weeks. I don't know. Twitter, terrible, horrible experience every time I'm on there. Can feel the psychic damage coming out of my phone each time I open the app. It doesn't stop me, but it does give me a moment of like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it is interesting how consistently every social media app has just been made worse over time.
Oh, yeah.
Reddit app consistently gets worse every release somehow. Discord just released a brand new mobile update, which is probably the worst mobile update I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh no.
So yeah.
Wow. Hopefully the Blindsiders get worse with each new episode. Hopefully you guys are liking it more and more. But yeah, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you in the next one.